This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين، صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, mashayikh, elders, brothers, mothers and sisters, and those who are listening via the various platforms, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I always like to start my program by expressing our shortcomings in ever speaking equivalent to the greatness of our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, our inability to capture your greatness by the eloquence of our words, never mind the eloquence with our tongue, does not take away anything from your greatness. The Urdu poet had said, Mustafa Mujtaba, tere mado thana, mere bas mein nahi, mere dastaras mein nahi, dil ko himmat nahi, lab ko yaara nahi, tujhsa koi nahi, tujhsa koi nahi. O Mustafa Mujtaba, our hearts does not have the capacity, our words does not have the eloquence and the vocabulary to praise you. You are as Allah has praised you, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. That is a reality. Brothers, there are various, every aspect of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life is full of virtue, full of lessons. And every year we take different dimensions, trying to give different lessons. Last year I spoke about various delegations in the imaginary or in the world of, in the words of Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, he described various delegations coming in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, expressing their gratitude for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's favors upon them for achieving excellence in their field. That was the theme last year. Today I would like to take the theme of the Battle of Hunain and the Siege of Taif. And you will see why I have chosen this, because of the rich and profound lessons that are in this remarkable incident and this Battle of Hunain and the Siege of Taif. The Battle of Hunain and the Siege of Taif takes place after the conquest and Fatah Makkah. Fatah Makkah is achieved by two things. And I want you to listen to this, brothers. I'm going to emphasize certain points, certain lessons. Fatah Makkah takes, and the conquest takes place because of two reasons. The first reason is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِيَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, none can overcome you. And this was happened in the Fatah Makkah. It happened because of Allah ta'ala's help. So this is very beautifully manifested, that when our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Makkah triumphantly. Brothers, just recall this. If you are coming back to the place where they expelled you, with what shan and shokat you must be thinking of coming back. These were the people who expelled me from Makkah. I will show them, I will come with such great glory. Not the Nabi of Allah. He comes into Makkah with his head bowed on his camel and reciting these verses, and reciting this poetry, Alhamdulillahi wahdah, nasara abdah, وأنجز وعده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. All praise is only due to Allah, who helped his bondsman, who fulfilled his promise, and he alone defeated the enemy. This was, on one hand, getting the help of Allah Ta'ala, which led to the conquest of Makkah. The second thing is immaculate preparation. Immaculate preparation. Nabi Karim ﷺ, when he left Makkah, told the people of Medina, told the Muslims, no one must say anything until we reach Makkah. Now, for you to reach Makkah that time took several days, almost a week. And of course, there could have been a situation that the people of Makkah comes to know about the Muslims coming and make preparation. Such was the preparation that when Nabi Karim ﷺ reached Makkah and lit the fires from the camps, that was the first time the people of Makkah came to know that an army is on our doorstep. Abu Sufyan asked Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle. Abbas was aware because he was informed by Nabi Karim ﷺ. So Abbas told Abu Sufyan, let's go and see what it is. They come and they see the Muslim army. Long story. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sees him and he said, the enemy of Allah, Allah has brought him in front of us. Let us execute him. Abbas said, no, leave him. I'm taking him to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You do nothing. In haste. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells Abu Sufyan and tells the Muslim army, you do a march pass in front of Abu Sufyan. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the entire army, the different tribes, to parade their strength in front of Abu Sufyan. Each and every tribe came and paraded in front of Abu Sufyan, each more impressive than the other, until the last battalion led by our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, known as the Green Battalion, completely covered in silver armor. Nothing could be seen about them except their eyes. And then they paraded in front of Abu Sufyan with that shan, with that strength and that awe. And Abu Sufyan realized that he would never ever be able to defeat this enemy. And he came to beg for peace. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that, oh Abu Sufyan, go back. And because he was such an influential person, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to give him some form of recognition. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people, with the enemy. Whoever stays in the house of Abu Sufyan tomorrow has got protection. Whoever stays in the haram tomorrow got protection. Whoever stays in his own house got protection. My point, two things are required for victory. Help of Allah and immaculate preparation. If any one of them is amiss, you will not gain worldly victory. Today we feel that only dua is there. But together with that, if dua was sufficient, why did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam make such immaculate preparation? Leads a battalion completely with his armor, only his entire face covered, only his eyes visible. That is how victory was achieved. Two things, help of Allah, getting the help of Allah, and immaculate preparation. After this, when the Taif was the next most important city in that region after Makkah Mukarramah, the place of two very prominent tribes, the Thaqif and the Hawazin, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبَيْهِ, Allah Ta'ala has made mention of it also in the 25th Supara of the Holy Quran, the two great cities, Makkah and Taif. Right. Now, Taif also has this particular distinction. It was the most fertile place in the region. And even today, it's known as a summer palace. So when it's very hot, people come to Taif. Another distinction at that time, before pre-Islamic Arabia, was in a place where the idol Lat was placed. And Lat was the second greatest idol after Hubal. Right? Understand what I'm saying? So it was a very significant place. So in this particular time, the two tribes said that before Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam attacked us, they're fearing that this is what's going to happen. let us prepare ourselves. So they prepare an army. And they get the help. The two of the most prominent tribes in this alliance, they get other, the tribe of Nasr, Jusham, Bani Hilal, and other tribes to join in the fight against the Muslims. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to know about it, and he sends a scout by the name of Abdullah ibn Abu Hadrad. Go and find out. We hear that they are preparing. What are they preparing? So he comes out and said, Ya Rasulullah, they have prepared a massive army. They have prepared a massive army, and they have camped near this place known as Hunain. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sets out, and when he sets out, there are 12,000 Muslims, 12,000, maybe not all of them Muslims, but 12,000 people with our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 10,000 who came to the conquest of Makkah, 2,000 from the conquest of Makkah. Some of them not even Muslims. Some of them not even Muslims. Right? Now this was the greatest Muslim army in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Understand the numbers. In the 6th year of Hijri, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes for Hudaybiyah, 1,400 Sahaba. Right? Thereafter, he comes for the conquest of Makkah with 10,000. So, in the terms of pure numbers, this was the greatest army. So, in this particular way, the Sahaba were heard to be saying to one another, when we were less in number, Allah granted us victory. Allah granted us victory in Badr with 313. Allah granted us victory in Uhud with 700. Today we are 12,000, we are not going to lose because of littleness of number. Allah did not like this. So Allah referred to it in the Holy Quran. لَقَدْ نَسَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاتِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ. Allah helped you on many occasions and on the time of Hunain. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتَكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. When your numbers pleased you, the word ujab is used. And ujab has been used by our ulama of tasawuf to refer to a spiritual aspect known as, or in English it is called conceitedness. Having a very high notion of yourself. Not like by Allah. Very spiritually destructive malady. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali had said, Kamal par naas karna, Kamal se aari hone ka daleel hai. For you to take pride in your perfection and your achievements is a sure sign you have no perfection. For you to take pride in what I've got, I'm also something. Look at my achievement. Look how great I am. Look how pious I am. It's a sign that you have got no perfection. You've got nothing. In English, they say, break your arm petting yourself. Break your arm petting yourself. This is what actually happens. Allah does not like. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مُحْلِكَاتٌ. Three things are destructive. And one of them is to have a high opinion about yourself. It is a first sign towards pride. Pride has an added dimension. Having a high notion about yourself and regarding yourself superior to another. Ujab is only a high notion of yourself. Takabbur is therefore greater than ujab because takabbur has an added dimension of regarding yourself superior. Ujab is, I'm also someone. I'm also so great. Allah does not like that. So this is known as ujab. Allah did not like it. And Allah Ta'ala says, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. When your numbers please you, but it did not help you in any way. So when they went, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then decided to go on the 6th of Shawwal, 20th of Ramadan, Fatah Makkah takes place. Is it 20th of Ramadan, most likely? 6th of Shawwal, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes on the campaign towards Hunain. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters into Hunain. Now Hunain, there is a valley. The valley was very amazing in the sense that it is a slippery slope and got a very narrow entry. So as you go in, you can't go in with great numbers. You have to go in with smaller numbers. And there is a slippery slope. So when the people go in, they are on the narrow plain. And the people who are on top, they are have an advantage. Now, just before that, the people of Hawazin prepared, and amongst them that prepared was Malik bin Auf. Now, Malik bin Auf was the head of the Hawazin. So when he prepared, he got his people well prepared. They were very excellent marksmen and archers. So when they prepared them, he got them, and together what he did was, he brought all their possessions, all their wealth, all their women, all their children. A very senior person from his tribe, Durayd, he told him that, how can you do something like this? War is won by the sword, not by your wealth and your children and your womenfolk. He said that sword wins the war. So if you are going to win, the sword is going to be the means of winning. And if you're going to lose, it means your sword didn't do the work. That particular woman and children are not going to help you in any way. So therefore, what are you doing? He dismissed it as the ranting of an old man. And he said, we are going to do this. So the tribe of Thaqif and the Hawazin, they brought all their women and their children and all their wealth. His answer to that was, if the people know that the women and children are them, they're going to fight more fiercely. So now he gets them and they all get prepared. The moment the Muslims enter into the Hawazin, before I go, that one very important point. As Nabi Karim SAW is leaving Makkah, Nabi Karim SAW takes and goes to Safwan bin Umayyah. Safwan, borrow me armor. We need armor to go and fight the Hawazin in Thaqif. So he asked, Ya Rasulullah, now Safwan bin Umayyah, a non-Muslim, one of the most influential and one of the greatest enemies of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he asked, now just imagine this, brothers, you have conquered a people and you are asking them for armor. So he asked, naturally, you have conquered us, are you going to take it by force? Are you going to take it on loan? Today, what would have happened? We know what the conquering armies do. He said, Arya, I'm taking it on loan. Now, who is the Safwan bin Umayyah? Safwan bin Umayyah, after the Battle of Badr, because he lost close family members, sent Umayr ibn Wahab to go and kill Nabi Karim SAW, to assassinate Nabi Karim SAW. As he's sitting in the haram, he tells Umayr ibn Wahab and he tells people, there is no joy in living after we have lost in Badr. No joy. Our prominent, influential people have died. You know, and then he said, if only someone can go and take revenge. So Umayr ibn Wahab was there. He said, if I didn't have debts, I would have gone and assassinate Nabi Karim SAW. Abu Sufyan said, go, Safwan bin Umayyah said, go and kill him. I will take care of your debts and I will take care of your family for the rest of your, for the rest of their life. So Umayr ibn Wahab goes with a poison dagger. With a poison dagger to go and kill Nabi Karim SAW, he hides it in his cloak. When he comes in front of Nabi Karim SAW, you know, Nabi SAW says, you know, Umayr, why have you come? I have come to ransom the prisoners. If you have come to ransom the prisoners, you bring wealth. What is a poison dagger doing under your cloak? He's taken aback. No one knows about it. And then Nabi SAW tells him, Umayr, what did Safwan promise you in the haram? What did Safwan promise you in the haram? Umayr ibn Wahab said, who told you? He said, my Allah told me. Umayr ibn Wahab becomes a Muslim. Turns away from there. This is Safwan. When they come to conquer Makkah, Safwan runs away and he goes to Jeddah. Umayr ibn Wahab comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, gives protection to Safwan. Let him see your beauty. Let him see your character. So, Nabi SAW said, go, I have given him protection. Umayr said, Ya Rasulullah, who's going to believe that you have given a person who sent me to assassinate you protection? Who's going to believe? Who's going to believe this? Nabi SAW takes out his turban, gives it to Umayr and said, go and give it to Safwan that I have given him protection. Gives his turban to the one who sends someone to assassinate him. When Umayr bin Wahab goes to Safwan, he said, Nabi SAW has given you protection, come and accept Islam. He said, go and tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I will accept the protection, but he must give me 4 months to think over the matter of accepting Islam or not. He must give me 4 months. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes his armor, he is not a Muslim. This particular aspect that we can't cooperate with others. Where is it? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cooperated with other people who were not Muslims for the sake of the cause. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes the armor and goes into the battle. Brothers, I think sometimes, you know, we must just think about this matter. Let me ask you this question. If we, the attitude that we have emanating from some quarters today, if that was the attitude Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had and the Sahaba had, we who were in India, who had non-Muslim background, the people who were in Africa who had paganist background, they would not have accepted Islam. Where we don't want to have anything to do with no one, don't have any cooperation, don't speak to anyone, don't engage with anyone, don't give dawah to anyone. This is not the way of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We would not have accepted Islam with that attitude. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took armor from a non-Muslim to go and fight in Hunayn. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and them entered into Hunayn, these people were prepared and they were excellent marksmen, excellent archers. They started raining down the arrows upon our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and there was chaos. And the Sahaba, there was chaos. When there was chaos, the Sahaba, many of them retreated. And in that retreating, many of them retreated until Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shouted out and with a voice that reached many people, Ana an-nabiyyu la kadhib, ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am the Nabi of Allah, there is no falsehood in my claim. I am the son of Ibn Abdul Muttalib. Beckon to my call. I am the Nabi of Allah, there is no. Then Abbas radiallahu anhu had a booming voice, he called out. And the people started coming back. In the first instance, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was right in the midst, right close to the enemy. Subhanallah. And amongst the people who was protecting Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, brothers, listen to this incident, was Abu Sufyan bin Harith. He was the closest and he protected Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, who is Abu Sufyan bin Harith? Abu Sufyan bin Harith grew up with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One riwayat, he was a foster brother of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was a cousin of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was so close to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was expected that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam declared his prophethood, he would have accepted Islam. It was expected. But he turned against Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, became the arch enemy, used poetry against Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and very degrading poetry. And he was always in the forefront in hostility against Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then before Fathu Makkah, he said that let me become a Muslim. So he came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is traveling to Makkah. And he comes and he greets Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who turns away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't make him salam. He goes to Ali, he goes to Abbas, he goes to everyone. No one gives him any type of face. They leave him to his devices and he's feeling very, very hurt. He composed poetry that if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not forgive me, I will go out wandering in the desert without any food until I die of starvation. And then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to the tent where Umm Salma is. You know, sometimes wives can play a very important role and sometimes they can play a very damaging role. Sometimes, you know, the spouses, they create fights. So say the spouse were one day fighting, the two spouses were fighting, so one spouse told the other spouse, I can't say who it is because nowadays gender sensitivity. So one said, you know, I'm looking so old, look at all the wrinkles on my face. Tell me something complimentary. So the other spouse said, at least your eyesight is very good. And sometimes, you know, you have to break a fight. So they said, the husband always has a last say in an argument. And normally the last say is, I'm sorry, you are right. So sometimes you create a fight, sometimes you have to break a fight. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes, Umm Salma radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, he is your cousin. Even if he did wrong, he is your cousin. He's asking for forgiveness. Ya Rasulullah, if you don't forgive him, what will happen to him? So Nabi Karim said, just look. She could have said, he was your cousin, he was so close to you, and yet he went against you. Go and don't ever pay any attention to him. That would have been the end of Abu Sufyan. He would have gone to Jahannam. Ya Rasulullah, you show clemency to your enemies. He is your cousin. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave him. And the ulama said, he with his mule, Ash-Shahba, was in the forefront of protecting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Hunain. And he was telling people that I always look for an opportunity to do and to redo all the wrong that I have done, to be able to show some other type of sacrifice to our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nevertheless, the Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba regroup, and they do a counter-attack to such an extent that the people of the Thaqif and Hawazin, they flee. One particular group goes to Autas. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends Ubaid Abu Amir to pursue them. He got a wound in the knee, and because of that, he passes away. As he realizes the amount of blood coming out of his knee, he tells his companions, go and give salam to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tell Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to pray for my forgiveness. They go to tell Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, you know, Ubaid Abu Amir, he asked that you must pray. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately, the historians wrote, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lift up his hand and make dua for his forgiveness. And someone yesterday sent me, a saying of someone very similar, Amr bin Ubaid. Very interesting saying, just a little bit off the topic. Amr bin Ubaid, someone one day came and tell him and he said, I feel you pity that the people are speaking bad about you. So he replied and said, am I speaking bad about them or are they speaking bad about me? He said, they are speaking bad about you. He said, go and pity them, don't pity me. Go and pity them, don't pity me. So anyway, one group go to Autas. Amr bin Ubaid, although he was made shaheed, he gains victory over them. Now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to the people of Taif. Now the people of Taif, they had a very strong fort and they protected themselves in the fort. Now when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Mecca, he started hearing that the Thaqif and Hawazin were preparing themselves for war and they also got this fort. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent two Sahaba, Urwa bin Mas'ud and Ghailan bin Abi Salma, to a place called Jarish. Now it was that time or previously, but some ulama and some narrations I read was just at the time of Fatah Makkah. Go and learn the latest technique in warfare. Go and learn the latest technique in warfare. So they went and they came back with three things from Jarish. One was the caterpillar, and anyone who knows medieval history would be able to identify with this. One was that. The second was a large battering ram to knock into the forts. And the third was the protective turtle shield, the protective turtle shell, where the army goes under a turtle type of shell, which is full of armor and steel, and you go under that to go and attack the fort. They came back and they came back with these three techniques. Who says Islam was against progress? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba to go and learn, and they came with these two things. The first time the caterpillar was used in the siege of Taif, writes Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani in Islam or Jiddat Pasandi. The first time these Muslims used caterpillar for the first time in the siege of Taif. But for whatever reason, it was not successful. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then kept the siege for 20 days. Every time the Sahaba used to go near the fort, they tried for some reasons to take them out of the fort. They were not successful. They were well prepared. They had kept supplies for one whole year in the fort. So every time the Sahaba go, because of the ulama write, the historians write, they send arrows like a swarm of locusts. Many Sahaba were killed in the siege of Taif. Perhaps even more than the Battle of Hunain, because only four people were shaheed in the Battle of Hunain. So in this particular way, they couldn't get any. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started burning the vineyards. And then they said, Ya Rasulullah, how can you burn our vineyards? Our risk is there. Look at the magnanimity of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He stopped burning the vineyards. He used it as a ploy to bring them out of the fort, perhaps to fight. That also was not successful. After 20 days, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes the mashura of Nawfal bin Muawiyah. Nawfal bin Muawiyah was a person who was very well known in warfare. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what should we do? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, it's like a fox in its place of safety. As long as in its place of safety, it can't harm you. And you will not be able to get in it because it's right in its cave or wherever its place of safety is. And because it's in its place of safety, it can't harm you. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell the Sahaba, we're lifting the siege. Some young Sahaba were against it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh, go and fight. And when they saw a shadow, a whole lot of arrows coming upon them, they also came back. This was the pragmatism of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He showed that same pragmatism in the Battle of Khaybar, where he dug the trench. And he showed the same pragmatism in dealing with the siege of Taif. Now when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back, remember when I told you that they came with their wealth and their women and their children. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took all of that, left it in Jirana and said, afterward, we finish with them in Taif, we'll come back. So when they came back, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started distributing the spoils of war. Do you know what they left behind? 24,000 camels and 40,000 sheep. They were the most prosperous tribes in that region. So they left that, they left their women, they left their children. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started distributing them because they were not coming. 20 days more than that, they were still not coming. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam distributed the wealth. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam distributed. That time there was prisoners of war. So the prisoners of war also were distributed. That was the norm of the time in terms of warfare. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam distributed it. After that, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam distributed it, then they started realizing that we have made a mistake. So they came back and they spoke to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Their spokesperson was a person by the name of Zuhair ibn Sarad. Now amongst the people of Hawazin, when he came, he said, Ya Rasulullah, have mercy upon us because of your kinship with us. Because of your relationship with us. Now what was the relationship? We don't know about Sirah. I've asked many people here, no one will know about the relationship. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's foster mother, Hazrat Halima, was from the Hawazin. So when the captors of war were there, there was one woman who was telling the Sahaba, and she was insisting, I'm the sister of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How can you treat me like this? I want to be in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they were like taken aback. What sister? We don't know anything. And then she was Shaima, Bibi Shaima, the foster sister of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, take me in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They took her in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, I am your foster sister. Now Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw her at the age of 4. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is close to 60, not 60 years, 56 years before he saw her. He said, how do I know you are my sister? You are my foster sister. She said, remember, when you were small, you bit me at one place. Here is the sign of your biting me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got so happy. He told her, I give you two options. I give you the option of staying with us, I will treat you with honor. Or I allow you to go back to your tribe and I will give you generously. She said, give me something generously, I'll go back to my tribe. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives her generously. After that, she brings her mother, Hazrat Halima. She was 80 years of age. When Halima comes in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he takes out his shawl and he places it in front of Halima. Taking out the shawl and placing it in front of someone was the greatest honor. And the Nabi of Allah taking out his shawl for a tribe that had attacked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed them that. Then when they came, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, after Zuhur you announce, from my tribe, I have forgiven all the women and children that has been distributed. I will not say anything. I will give them back to you. But I can't force it. So after Zuhur, you make the announcement. And then they made the announcement. And when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, because of this announcement, I have forgiven them. I have forgiven them. You also forgive them. All forgave them besides three tribes, Banu Tamim, Banu Fazara, and Banu Sulaim. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam managed to convince them also to forgive. And then all of them took all the women and children, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave them because of his forbearance. Now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting with the wealth. You know, in today's time, in the corporate world, they call a very important thing, they call stakeholder management. Anyone who is in the corporate world will know. Stakeholder management. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had two stakeholders. He had his whole army, and he had this whole people who had just recently reverted to Islam. Although they had reverted to Islam, or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had conquered them, some have not reverted, but they were part of the army. Now 20 years of hostility was not going to end overnight. And to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, wealth was nothing. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't give any value to wealth, but for them that was of great value. Now this is what you call stakeholder management. How do you bring your stakeholders to become part of you? Learn the seerah, my dear respected brothers. Learn how you bring people together, not how you take people away. To take people away and make them kafir is the easiest thing in the world to do. To make them from kafir to become Muslims, or from weak Muslims to become better Muslims. That is a shan of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is a sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That we don't do because it is more difficult. It's more easier to label. How did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do the stakeholder management? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that these people are enemies. Or at least they were enemies. Some of them have started accepting Islam. How do I bring an end to 20 years of hostility? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started distributing. Ya Allah, how did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam start distributing? He gave the people who were in the prominence of enmity and hostility, gave them 100 camels. Abu Sufyan, 100 camels. Abu Sufyan afterwards said, what about my sons? 100 camels for them also. The brother of Abu Jahl, 100 camels, Harith bin Hisham. The Safwan bin Umayyah, 100 camels. And he won them over with his generosity. Now people will say, you gave wealth to bring them to Islam. If they come upon Hidayat in any way, there is a benefit for us. We want people to come upon Hidayat. We don't want people to go away from Islam. He gave 100 camels. One person from Bani Ghatfan, who was an ordinary Baddu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him 100 camels. 100 camels is like giving 100 Land Rovers. Or 100 BMWs, what must you say? What is more valuable? I don't know. Now Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving and giving. This is how he brought them. That is why all of them later on became the Mujahids, and they sacrificed for the sake of Islam. All of them. This is stakeholder management, bringing enemies closer to you. Then of course there's another stakeholder. How do you keep the people who are close to you still close to you? How do you bring the people who are close to you still remain close to you? So when this started happening, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started giving wealth to just people who had just recently reverted, who were enemies, some of the younger people of the Ansar, they started saying, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving them because they are influential, because they are people of his tribe. Whispers started emanating from the Ansar, and the Ansar, they were the greatest helpers of Islam. Each and every Muslim till the day of Qiyamah is indebted to the people of Medina and the Ansar, without whom physically we would not have been able to see the rise of Islam. So Sa'd bin Ubadah came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sa'd, what is this that I'm hearing about all these whispers? Ya Rasulullah, it is the truth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sa'd, what do you think? Sa'd said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a matured person. I understand your wisdom, why you are doing things. But I can also understand their perspective, stakeholder management. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called the Ansar, and he addressed them. And he said, Ya Ma'ashar al-Ansar, O Ansar, أَلَمْ أَجِدْكُمْ ذُلَّالًا فَهَدَاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ Were you not astray and Allah Ta'ala gave you hidayah through me? Were you not astray and Allah Ta'ala gave you hidayah through me? And وَعَالَةً فَأَغْنَاكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَمُتَفَرِّقِينَ فَجَمَعَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ Were you not poor and Allah Ta'ala enriched you through me? Were you not at odds and fighting with one another? And Allah gave you unity through me. And they all kept quiet. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why don't you reply? And they all replied and said, Ya Rasulullah, we believe in what you are saying. And ammanu, we definitely believe in what you are saying is true. And we accept it and we acknowledge it. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, this was such a great accolade. If only people who are close to Deen, you know that Tabligh Jamaat tells you, they tell the people who are old workers, you must make more sacrifice. You must make nusrat of the people who are coming, who are not old workers. And look at Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ala tardawna ay yadhhaban nasu bishati wal ibil wa yadhhabuna bi rasulillahi ila rihalikum wal ansar shi'arun. Are you not happy that people will take camels and sheep and you will go back to Medina with the Nabi of Allah? Are you not happy? Because the rumor also started saying that now Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has conquered Makkah, his original place. He's not going, coming back to Medina. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, are you not happy that people will go back with camels and sheep and you will go back home with the Nabi of Allah? And the Ansar, the wisdom of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, may we be sacrificed 100 times upon this wisdom. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لو سلك الناس واديا وشعبا لسلكت وادي الأنصار وشعبهم. If people take a route and people take a destination and the Ansar take a destination, I will take the destination which Ansar chose. I will follow the Ansar. If people take one route and the Ansar take one route, I will follow the Ansar and take that route. Ulama and the historian writes, Ansar were crying and tears were flowing until their beards were wet. Brothers, this is what you call stakeholder management. How he dealt with the enemies and made them friends, and how he kept friends as friends. So many lessons, and I thought that these lessons are appropriate, and therefore I chose this topic. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Brothers, the time of Maghrib is set in the Adhan will go now. I have to apologize to the brothers. Normally every year, just before my